Welcome to This Paranormal Life. My name is Kit.
My name is Rory.
And this is Area 51.
We are the first podcast in the world to record right here at Area 51. Let's describe the scene. Kit, you and I are in the middle of the desert in the blistering heat wearing suits.
Yes, it felt like a good idea at the time when we were in the UK.
Yeah.
Now that we're here, it's a little bit different. But we're sticking to it.
Well, we wanted to look professional in case we got approached by any agents that work at the facility. We wanted to make sure we could just kind of nod our heads, keep our heads down and follow them into the confidential areas.
Hopefully that is enough to do it. I say we are podcasting from Area 51. Not exactly. I think we would be arrested and deported to Mars if we tried to record from inside the facility. We are recording right now as close as we can kind of legally get.
Yeah, if we were podcasting from inside of Area 51, the podcast would sound like this, because I'd have the barrel of a gun in my mouth.
That's right, Rory, and that is a fantasy that might actually come true if we take too long to record this. I assume they've heard us start recording and they're on our tail.
All right, well then let's speed things up a little. Let's get into it.
We're recording right now basically as near as we can get to the facility's perimeter on Highway 375 in Nevada, also known as the Extraterrestrial Highway.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to talk all about Area 51. Let's get into it. To learn more about this mysterious and forbidden place, let's go back in time. It's 1965 on an eerily still night. A bus speeds along a desert highway near Rachel, Nevada. Without any warning, a group of men have been ordered onto a military bus and they head towards an unknown location. Charlie Arendale, head of security at a gypsum mine nearby, leans over to a fellow passenger.
Psst, where the hell are we headed?
I have no idea. I'm supposed to be working the gates of the oil refinery tomorrow morning.
Wait. You're in security too?
Another man pipes up.
We all are.
Charlie looked around the bus. A whole collection of burly night watchmen and security guards sat confused and looking out into the desert. Eventually, the bus pulled onto a smaller road and then pulled up at an airstrip. The men were ordered off the bus and a military sergeant awaited.
Gentlemen, thank you for your cooperation.
We really didn't cooperate.
Okay then, thank you for not trying to run.
Well, Davey tried to run, but they tasered him.
I'll taser you if you don't... Look, can you let me finish?
We appreciate that you may have some questions to ask, but now is not the time. You have been solicited here for your expertise in security, and as a matter of national importance, we ask that you do exactly as instructed.
With their experience?
In security.
One of them's basically Minecraft Steve. You told me he works down in the Glintstone factory or something?
One guy's like, I stand at the door at Walmart. I've never stopped someone in my life.
I tasered an old shoplifter and he died. I don't think I should be here. I think maybe I should be in jail.
They're like, that makes you surprisingly qualified for the job. Gives them a taser.
The men were walked out into the desert around the airstrip, forming a massive perimeter, and were told in no uncertain terms to guard this site. In fact, the army personnel armed the men and told them to, quote, shoot on sight any intruders.
Jesse, did you hear that guy? Shot on sight? What are we guarding here?
Haven't you heard the stories about what the military and Air Force are up to around here? The weird tests, the discoveries, the extraterrestrials.
Wait, what's that noise?
Before long, Charlie was able to hear it too. A strange, kind of muted, humming sound that was reverberating around the whole area.
They could just about see some activity and a few lights at the center of the runway in the distance. The humming continued for half an hour, totally disorienting Charlie and the other guards, until eventually they were ordered,
okay, that's it, back on the bus.
What?
Relieved to be leaving, they got a closer glimpse of that runway as the bus maneuvered off site. A group of heavily armed troops stood in a circle facing outward, surrounding a large camouflage tent. Charlie never found out what was inside.
Damn.
And as they pulled back onto the highway, he saw a sign flashing in the bus's brake lights. Area 51. Rory, few locations on Earth are shrouded in as much paranormal intrigue as the US Air Force Base known as Area 51. Located in the Groom Lake salt flats of the Nevada desert, officially, this is the secret location of a test site for new and advanced flight technology.
Wow.
But as me and you well know, the government's secrecy surrounding it and the host of strange events that have occurred here over the years has made this place synonymous with conspiracy and the unexplained. And Charlie Arendelle's story is just one of hundreds of unexplained such stories connected to Area 51.
When did this original story take place?
What I say, in 74, let's say? No, 65. Don't know where I got 74 from. 65.
Okay, that makes sense because it's hard to imagine a time where they were just picking people up and bringing them into Area 51.
Yeah, I guess a time when even less people lived here, which is saying a lot because I'm looking around and there's piss all people living here. To understand what was underneath that tent that night, we need to go back in time to its origins. Like, where does the name Area 51 even come from? Despite allegedly being operational since at least the Cold War, little is known about its name. One leading theory is that under a governmental numbering grid, this area known as Groom Lake happened to be Area Number 51.
That's disappointingly anticlimactic.
Interestingly, inside government organizations, they don't generally call it that. They instead call it Groom Lake or Homie Airport.
Oh, an airport for the homies?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And if that wasn't warm and welcoming enough, this is hilarious to me. Apparently, when it was first built, they were trying to convince people to locate here. They called it Paradise Ranch.
Hell yeah. I mean, this is working for me. Homie Airport is what I call my driveway on a Friday night. I'm like, hey, land your craft right here, boys. Let's go.
Fares to and from Homie Airport are cheap, starting at 1 6-pack of Bud Light. And look, it's worth pointing out at this point that while we're currently openly talking about Area 51, at the gates of Area 51,
keep
no less.
Keep your voice down.
Oh my God, sorry. The US government has actually denied its existence for almost all of its history. It wasn't until 2013, just 12 years ago, that documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act first mentioned Area 51.
I mean, it's a very hard thing to deny its existence when you refuse to let anyone photograph that area of the world in any form.
Yes.
It's like, well, then what? Why? If nothing's there, shouldn't I be able to just walk up that hill? Don't walk up the hill. It's like, well, then there is. I'm going to think there is something there.
Right, yeah.
There is a tower with men carrying guns bigger than an elephant's trunk. What could they possibly be there for if not a top secret base?
Well, they go find that those men are having a beach day. That's right. There is a private beach on the other side of that mountain range. And those are not weapons. Those are deck chairs.
Those are pool noodles. Military grade pool noodles for the party at Homie Airport. Who's that little 3-foot dude running about with gray skin? His name's Marco. He's actually a really cool guy.
That's not classified because it's just my personal belief. Rory, it is a great point. I guess it comes back to what we were just saying, that from 1965 through to semi-recently, I guess it was easier to keep things a secret, especially when, if you are watching this video, hopefully on YouTube or on Spotify, you can watch this podcast. Please do watch it. Check it out. We've got some amazing surroundings here in the Mojave Desert outside Area 51. You can see that while there are very scary Area 51 signs right behind our backs, there is also an expanse before a mountain range.
You know,
no part of this facility is like visible from the road or visible from anywhere that's easily accessible. I believe it is essentially tucked behind that mountain range.
We are very close and yet very far.
Well said. And to give you an idea of just how top secret this base is, let me tell you about the Skylab incident. In 1974, there it is, that's why I thought about it, the Skylab space station was taking satellite photos of Earth when they photographed several corners of the Mojave Desert in California, Nevada, inadvertently capturing Area 51 on camera.
Here we go.
This set off about 1,500 alarms across military bases in America. The CIA moved immediately to censor these photographs, ensuring that they didn't get out, stating that the space agency had been specifically instructed to not photograph Groom Lake. Not just that, it was the only location on planet Earth they were not allowed to photograph.
I don't think you have the authority to say that. You don't own the Earth.
It's like I'm kind of standing outside the jurisdiction of Earth,
yeah,
let alone the United States of America. I don't know if federal law kind of applies here. It's like getting up to the space station and ripping a fat bong, and then a police officer getting on a Zoom call to you and being like, oh, you better stop smoking that bong. It's like, dude, I can do what I want. I'm not even on Earth.
Also, this is kind of the military's fault. I mean, as someone who owns a motorbike, they basically say, yeah, if you don't want thieves to see it, put a tarp over it. It's as simple as that.
Cover it up.
Just cover it up. Don't have, like, saucers in the runway, like aliens sunbathing on the lawn. Like, you've gone all the way to the effort of building this base in the middle of the desert. Just put it underground.
Put it in a hangar.
If
you're watching this video, you understand the concept of, if someone's having a bad hair day, put a hat on.
Yeah.
All right? And if you don't want people to see flying saucers, put a tarp over it.
Space Review magazine wrote about the incident, saying that the CIA considered Groom Lake to be the most sensitive location on Earth.
Wow.
What makes it so sensitive? Are we really supposed to believe that a few models of a new helicopter flying around make this the world's most secret location?
We're talking about a base so sensitive, if you touch it, it goes off.
If this super secret base was a premature ejaculation wouldn't even come close to describing it. And it goes on. Area 51 security is notorious, if you haven't already heard. There's a reason we're sitting on this side of the fence, Rory. There's a security perimeter around the base of allegedly more than 15 miles on all sides.
Whoa!
We're talking CCTV, FLIR, I don't know what that is, cameras, alarms, and motion detectors in the desert, so that even for people like us that are at a safe distance, they almost certainly still know you're in the vicinity.
Let me tell you, we drove by the mountains that surround this facility, and you can see the watchtowers up there, right at the top, looking down over the perimeter. It's kind of terrifying. But again, nothing there. Isn't that crazy?
We're just testing a new type of jet ski. Just a new, really fun type of jet ski.
In the desert.
Because it's Groom Lake, of course. And while, like I said, no one has, until now, ever podcasted at Area 51, a bunch of YouTubers have filmed their attempts at trying to get close. You've maybe seen some of these, Rory.
I have.
And chillingly, you don't get very close before an unmarked white pickup truck with camouflaged men inside will appear out of nowhere to follow you.
Yikes. Those are not the kind of guests we want on this podcast.
I like the idea of them being camouflaged inside the car. So if the car is driving by, you're like, what the f***? That thing driving itself? Then invisible agents get out. Sure, you're under arrest.
A group of floating guns walk over to you. What?
This is nothing out of the ordinary. We don't possess any kind of futuristic technologies. Get in the car.
Let's address the elephant in the room here. Are they testing new military aircraft?
Sure.
How new is there that aircraft? You know, that's what I want to know. Is it from the year 4000? Did it arrive here through a portal and you shot the little green man in the head who was piloting it? That's what I think it is.
Well, Rory, this is what we're going to get into because...
Just going to watch my back. Sorry, we are close. They listen to everything in this valley. So, yeah, sweating a little bit here.
Yeah, we actually don't even need to be. If you can see this, we're holding microphones to record this podcast. We arguably don't even need to do that. We could just ask Area 51 for the files. We'll be like, we just spoke a really good podcast at the perimeter of Area 51. They'd be like, yeah, here you go, bud. I put it on SoundCloud for you.
Yeah, they're like, we've got video too. They send it over and it's like, why is there a crosshair in your video? Ignore that. It's just a close-up of my forehead. It's like, I can hear you guys, by the way, talking in the background of the video.
Got to lock on to the fat one on the right, ready to take the shot.
Fatty in the crosshair, I repeat, fatty in the crosshair. So mean! So mean!
Will I hit the one on the left? Nah, he's weak, he won't get far. Out here in the desert.
Looks like he's gonna kill himself soon anyway.
Just talking over us. We're like, welcome to this paranormal life. They're like, God, they're pathetic.
Yeah.
God, they're sad.
Google these guys real quick. Is this really how many downloads they have? They came out here? What the? This is embarrassing.
This is by far the worst podcast that's ever been recorded. We can hear you.
We're yelling up to the mountain. We can hear you, by the way. Put the guns down.
As I say, I'm getting a little bit excited, but what I'm trying to paint the picture of is that what they say is happening is not all that's going on. Sometimes stories leak out that point us to something out of this world. There was one documented case where workers from the facility sued the government for health problems connected to certain quote-unquote materials they were exposed to at the base.
All right, let's go.
Now, despite persistent legal action, the case was shut down by the courts, and its evidence is still classified. And get this, to this day, each US president has to sign off an annual exemption protecting Area 51 from disclosing what materials they work with there.
Wow, that's crazy.
This is the only exemption of its kind in America.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
You know when someone's running for president and they're like, I'm going to get in and spill the beans. I'm going to tell the secrets and we're going to find out what's really going on there.
Yeah.
And everyone always makes the joke. Everyone says, no, man, not how it works. Because you become president, you get into the Oval Office, and a guy with a bunch of badges on his corporal's jacket says, sir, that's not exactly how things are going to go around here. I've got to brief you on a few things.
Yeah.
And then you never hear about it ever again. Well, this is exactly that. Every time someone comes into the office, a guy from the army comes in and goes, sir, I need you to sign this piece of paper once every 12 months to keep these things secret.
And the president says, I'm not going to do that. You can't make me. And the colonel says, sir, meet Antonio. And Antonio crouches down to get through the doorway. He is 10 foot tall and made of goo.
He doesn't need to say anything. He doesn't even need to crack his knuckles.
Yeah.
The president just goes, where do I sign?
Where do I sign? Yeah. Yeah, Mr. President, remember that alien that crashed at Roswell? This is his kid. You don't want to meet the dad, Mr. President.
He's 10 foot tall and the sergeant's like, yeah, and he's not even tall enough to play basketball on his planet. He's not even one of the tall ones. Stories like this only hint at what's truly going on in there. So what is it? Let's get down to brass tacks. And because even the dogs in the street know that something crazy is going on in there, even Wikipedia has a list of alleged purposes for Area 51. Let's go through them and see what jumps out to you, Rory.
All right.
Number one, activities related to the conspiracy theory of a one-world government.
Okay, I might need you to elaborate on that one.
Yeah, I don't really vibe with that one either. Number two.
Oh, all right.
The development of weather control.
Well, they haven't done a very good job at controlling the weather when we've been here, unless they want to control it to just be hot as shit 24/7.
It is true. But we do have a story here that I don't really have time to tell the full story. But we did see something insane today, didn't we?
Well, yeah. Some bizarre weather patterns kind of taking place over, specifically, Area 51.
Yeah, I don't want to get too into it, but we were driving extraterrestrial highway. And at one of our stops, we talked to a guy who lives near here. And he said, yeah, it never rains out here. We'll get half an inch a year normally.
Yeah.
And then on our drive back past Area 51, when it was on the other side of the mountains, there was basically a hole in the clouds where it was the heaviest rain I've ever seen falling in the general direction of Area 51.
It was pretty weird.
Maybe a little bit of evidence for theory number two. Okay, let's move on. Number three, the development of time travel and teleportation technologies.
Whoa, that's a big one.
That is a big one. Which kind of dovetails, honestly, with number four, the storage, examination, and reverse engineering of crashed alien spacecraft, including material supposedly recovered at Roswell.
Hello.
The study of their occupants and the manufacture of aircraft based on alien technologies.
We just hit the jackpot.
This is really what we're most interested in, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's no surprise that that is the most popular theory. If you go to any establishment, any building, cafe, petrol station in the vicinity of Area 51 and the Nevada desert, you're going to see a ton of alien stuff. There is a giant alien sculpture just off camera where we're filming right now.
The same reason why in, I think, 2019, during the notorious Storm Area 51 Facebook event, where I believe something like 2 million people signed up to an event.
Yeah.
Where they were going to turn up here to Area 51. And I believe the event description was, they can't stop all of us.
If we Naruto run.
Yeah, if we Naruto run, they can't stop all of us. The mandate for the attack was, show us dem aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings us into our final alleged activity. My personal favorite, meetings or joint undertakings with extraterrestrials. The development of exotic energy weapons.
Hello, what?
This is the idea that anything that has come down to Earth, at least on United States soil or United States Allied soil ends up here behind us in Area 51 and is then reverse engineered, potentially in collaboration with the aliens themselves.
I see. Okay, because my mind went straight to me talking about kind of intimate partnerships, some sort of alien hybrid breeding system.
I think you kind of, I mean, you took all that from joint undertakings. To me, that gives more business meeting.
But didn't you say something about erotic technology?
Exotic energy weapons.
That's right.
We can honestly cut that from the podcast if you want, man.
It sounds like someone behind those hills is clapping alien cheeks.
I believe that was also part of the Facebook event.
And I want to know about it. I want pictures.
Drop the OnlyFans link. Now, this is all very enticing, not just the last bit Rory's focused on. And for most of Area 51's history, the information coming out has been extremely scarce. But in recent years, since the government has acknowledged its existence, the dam is starting to break.
Here we go.
The US military has been rocked by a wave of high-profile whistleblowers who claim to have worked on advanced extraterrestrial technologies and in some cases have come into contact with aliens directly. Not as directly as you're thinking. Get it out of your mind.
It's hard to move past it now.
I tried to move on. Rory's like, what did you say about alien naturals? I said nothing about intergalactic naturals. The most famous, of course, of these is Bob Lazar, who we've talked about here on This Paranormal Life too.
Yeah.
Check that episode out in the back catalogue if you haven't already, because he describes in extreme detail seeing crafts up close and very specific alien technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Between stories like Bob's and, you know, the congressional hearings that have been plastered all over the world news, the timing has led many in the UFO community to believe we're in the middle of what they call disclosure. That is, the controlled release of all official information regarding UFOs and aliens.
Now, do they believe that's being done intentionally or unintentionally?
It's honestly a good question. It implies intentionality, but it could be because they know they're losing the fight and they have to now do a controlled release.
Right.
Of information.
I see.
The general concept is that the powers that be have believed people aren't ready for what disclosure would do, or right, that it would destroy global markets, sending the world economy into a tailspin.
Yeah. So you have to kind of imply that if this information is coming out, it's part of an operation. We already know about it.
Exactly. Although I will point out, I think a lot of people in the UFO community, I don't know what you think, wonder if the world feels honestly so insane these days, and we've now even had so many videos of alleged UAPs or UFOs, it doesn't feel like anyone gives a shit.
No, honestly, one of them could come down right now and we probably still finish the podcast before we go over to it.
Sorry, we gotta do a Squarespace read. Yeah. You can wait? Okay, cheers.
Actually, do you want to get in on this? It's pronounced Better Help, H-E-L-P. Yeah. You don't speak English? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you look morbidly depressed for what it's worth. I think you could potentially benefit from this. But I guess that's just our opinion. I guess from doing 400 plus episodes of This Paranormal Life, I guess I'm ready for disclosure. Sounds like you're probably ready for disclosure.
Oh, I'm ready, baby. Let's do it right now.
And yet, for now, the gates of Area 51 are still very much closed. And that's why we're bringing you this special dispatch series about Area 51 and the paranormal mysteries that surround it right here in the Mojave Desert, one of the world's most paranormal locations. So Rory, I'm so excited to share with the listeners that this is just part one of a multi-part series. We're going to be coming right back here to this same location to bring you more paranormal tales from the front lines.
Covering everything from UFOs to cryptids to mysterious sightings and iconic objects you can only find right here at Area 51.
So we're back on Tuesday with another main episode, but please come back and join us right here again next week on Thursday for another brand new paranormal tale.